The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Top of the morning to you. It is Saturday, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone, and you. And can find us not only ESPN FM 101.5, 1480 AM, but also the ESPN Lincoln app. We are efforting to connect with Kranak. The computer needs a quarter or two. Colton's working on that. It's like one of those carnival machines that, oh, sweet, it's a new iPhone in the dispensary, and that arm just doesn't quite reach down to grab it. So we're working on that. Hope you do it all right. I can smell it now down by Memorial Stadium. Some breakfast brats getting thrown on the old tailgate smoker slash grill. Maybe some red beverages. Little OJ working, and we'll see if Nebraska gets all their kinks worked out, ready for Northern Illinois. Can join us this morning, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House lets you do that. Let's get you set up this morning for the show. A man who had an amazing second half against Oregon, Mick Stoltenberg, nose guard for Nebraska. Our rewind segment coming up in about 15 minutes with Mick. His thoughts on Oregon, his thoughts on Nebraska moving forward. Excited about that in hour two. Brandon Vogel will join us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. And then the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, is going to be with us in hour two. You can also email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com. Find us on Twitter at Mark Skurs, at Schmidt _ radio, or at Hail Varsity. 466-377-6800-825-5865. His arms are tired. He's all the way back from Eugene. And we welcome in Mr. Mark Kranak. Kranak, how are you, sir? How you feeling this morning?
Good morning. Ready to go. Game time 4 hours from now, less than 4 hours. So a lot to get through.
There is. And will Nebraska get through this week? As you've heard, the practices have been good. The injury situation, not so much. And then the looming flu bug that has been floating around a couple of different Nebraska teams. The soccer team obviously had their game postponed. As of Thursday, Coach Riley saying 4 to 5 guys dealing with the flu bug. And one of the guys that I'm interested in seeing and seeing how healthy and well he is today, IBAC Jalen Bradley, tremendous talent. He's one of three guys that need to step their game up in the absence of Trey Bryant. That's one thing I'm interested in here with this game. But just overall, kind of a health and wellness start today with this Nebraska offense and run game. And really both teams, both sides of the ball for Nebraska, Mark, on offense and defense, kind of breaking this string slash streak of how they've started football games.
It's, man, it has to happen. And I pulled together some stuff, and I know there's some stuff in the World Herald this morning about it too. But you look at Nebraska's past 9 games. How many do you think they've led at halftime in?
3.
6. Okay. Oh, no, I went the wrong way. Yes.
You were hoping for 6, you got 3.
I know. That's what happened. You go back since Mike Riley got here. So that is 28 games?
28 games. 12, right? 17 and 13, something like that.
Yeah, so yeah. 28 games. In 15 of those, Nebraska has trailed at half. Now we're talking about Nebraska, right? I think those are fine numbers, what I just said, if you are, I don't know, South Alabama, right? If you're, dare I say it, Northern Illinois.
There's an expectation that you lead at half if you're Nebraska football.
Nebraska trails more often than they don't going into the break. And especially since last year, it is 9 of the past 15 games Nebraska has trailed at half. That's just, it doesn't make sense. Now, it gets really interesting, too, when you take out any of the non-Power Fives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, things should not be as bad as they are when you take out the non-Power Fives.
Well, just reel off the 9 here. I mean, we're not talking LSU, Bama, SC. You've trailed Oregon twice. You've trailed Ohio State. You've trailed Iowa. You've trailed Purdue. You've trailed Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You've trailed Northwestern. No, you led Northwestern. But that was Alonzo Moore, before the old halftime buzzer on a deep pass a year ago. So we're not talking murderer's row. Not some bad teams, but not a lineup of teams where it's going to be a coin flip game, or it should be a coin flip game.
Listen, since Mike Riley got here, 22 games against Power 5 opponents. What do you think the record is?
Mm-hmm. 22, I'm going to go 12 and 10.
11 and 11.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. That's where it's at, dead even.
So you are buzz-killing this state already, and we're not even 15 minutes into the 7 o'clock hour.
Maybe I woke up grumpy. I don't know. But you know what? No, these are just the facts, right? Like, this isn't
– the facts of the case
are
these.
That's just where Nebraska is. This is where Nebraska is. Nebraska is a team. It's a 50-50 shot if it's a Power 5 opponent that you're going to win. Nebraska is a team that's probably going to be trailing at half. That's what they are right now. That's not me. That's not an opinion. That's what it is, man. Right? Like, that's just what happens.
So it changes today, right?
Well, I'm not saying, does it? Will it?
Hey.
Northern Illinois is going to come in. Look, Northern Illinois is a fairly sturdy program.
Very sturdy.
They kind of know what they're about. They're pretty certain about their schemes. I don't expect today to be some blowout. If it is, great. But I think, as we just talked about, hello. You've been trailing in like 15 of your... By the way, out of those 22 Power 5s, Nebraska has trailed at halftime in 14 of those.
Wow.
So basically 66% of the time, they're trailing at halftime.
Well, let's put together a little formula here how you don't trail, okay? And it's been talked about this week by both coordinators. It's been emphasized going back to Monday by Mike Riley, the sickness comment. After watching the Oregon film, you should be sick. You should want to go out and work. You should want to kind of right the ship. I'm paraphrasing and adding a little spice to this. So it's kind of on these guys, these leaders, these playmakers to step up, go out, and do their thing. And a couple of ways that happens. First, on offense, what have you been happy with so far, so good through two games? Well, I think the major question mark has been the offensive line going into this season, right? What's gone well? Well, you've been pretty balanced, and you've been able to run the football. I think the O-line is better, but I don't know that we could have expected Trey Bryant to be this good and perform this well, enhancing the line enhancing him. They're working well together. He is out because of old man knee, right?
Yep.
So now you've got Wilbon against a team from his home state. We have a small sample size of what he did against Northwestern last year, but guys like Wilbon, guys like Ziggy have been waiting for their chance, their crack, and this transition from committee to sole ball carrier. So it'll be Wilbon and this O-line, their opportunity today to come out and keep this offense balanced And the other side of it, too, the passing game, the direction they want to go with it, the specific choice to get your quarterback, Lee, in rhythm early with some throws. That'll be something you'll try and see against this Northern Illinois defense as well. Not a big defense, but pretty fast and athletic. Very opportunistic with turnovers. So when I look at this game, I am excited for... I was excited because, you know, okay, you're taking on Oregon, you get speed. It's a big boy program, reputation-wise. They're trying to get back to living up to that reputation. You were there, you saw the first half, you saw the second half, and you're just like, okay, moving forward, right? Well, now, I mean, it's in your hands right now what kind of football team you want to be in week three as you get ready for Big Ten play next week. Are you going to continue to run the ball? Can you run the ball with your backups? And then two, can you stay and maintain balance on offense, and can you get your quarterback to have one of those bounce-back games against a team he should do pretty well against? It's not about just the play call, but it's also about Lee's decision-making and comfort level. So those are some things I'm interested in. And guess what, Mark? If they don't go out and drop 50 and win by 50, I'm okay with that, because this team is going to be one of those. It isn't the sprint. It's kind of more of the marathon approach. It's going to be a program and a team this season that continues to get better, can kind of keeps chipping away, chopping
Does
away.
It?
Well, that's the hope, unless they come out and dominate somebody.
Well, I mean, you said that with some degree of certainty there, that they're just going to get better throughout the year. Are other teams?
Yeah. You would think.
So is Nebraska going to get better than the other teams better?
They should.
Right? Mm-hmm. But I think that's the concern there. It's just like, I know that's what the coaches are saying. They're saying, yeah, we'll get better. We'll get better. Like, oh, you will? Really? Because have you seen what you've done so far? Which is one thing I appreciated about Bob Diaco this week when he talked to the press. Did you notice when he said something? I'm paraphrasing. He said something to the effect of, I know what we've put out there is not good enough. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like it should, points wise, yards wise. Right. I am not at all like absolving myself of responsibility for that. That was good. To me, that was positive. I don't think a lot of people would say that through 2 weeks. I know Bo Pelini would never say that.
Mm. Like, there's some ownership and accountability, but
is good.
You preached it. You need to live it, and they're trying to.
Yeah, yeah. It's but dude, it things are.
So you
things
think
just are what they are right now? Right? They are what they are. It's not good football. It is not good football. And we have been talking about Mikael Wilbon for how many years?
Four.
Here it is, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, here it is. This is your shot. The shot that, I mean, I think most of us in our heart of hearts have been like, I think if you gave that dude 20 carries, he'd give you 200 yards. Right? I think just most people that watch him. Mm-hmm. Are like, that guy's a pure running back.
So
here's his shot today. Is he going to do it?
With that said, did you feel like there was a lot of trust, or was it more situation a week ago when he came in that fourth quarter running the football?
Well,
did Nebraska want any part of trying to stay balanced with the run? And I understand time and score wasn't ideal, but they didn't do much with the run. I think they only called three run plays, and they weren't great. One was a touchdown due to penalty.
Wouldn't Nebraska have like 40 yards in that fourth quarter?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they couldn't get anything done on the ground or in the air. So for as much as everybody's talked about, well, Nebraska's defense got better, maybe that's the defense that they're going to carry forward. Cool. Hope that happens. Let's not forget what happened to the offense. They completely stalled out. Right? Like when it mattered. Really stalled out. Came roaring back, absolutely, got some points, huge third quarter. Totally. They deserve credit for that. But then at some point, at something like 40 yards in their last three or four drives. So, look, it's not good football yet, man. It's just not. It's it's super frustrating to watch because you're like, because you don't get it. Because you see what happens at Penn State. Dude, they were about to have their program shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Now what are they doing?
No, through
weeks. Waltzing around the top five,
through four,
winning conference championships.
Through 4 weeks a year ago.
Right.
You know, where's the U-Haul for old Mr. Franklin?
Everybody loves Purdue now.
I know they
right?
do.
Jeff Brohm walks in, and all of a sudden, Purdue's got an attitude.
Well, the other thing you can't leave out here is Fear the Turtle. I mean, Dirk in year two, they go smoke Texas on the road, putting up half a hundred.
Yeah. So people, I mean, you're seeing it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Why not here? Why isn't it happening?
I think the big thing is why isn't it happening, and why isn't it happening sooner?
Yeah,
because it's happening with a quicker turnaround in some other spots.
Like, it's just got to be better football. Like, period. It's just got to be better. It can be better. I think that's where Riley was coming from. I think you noticed the staff this week. Who knows if it'll work?
Mm-hmm.
So this is just an observation. The staff is pissed off.
Sure.
It's almost like they've finally had enough, too. That was the vibe I got from that. That's the vibe I got when I watched Reggie Davis giving interviews. When I watched Riley, it seems like they're just kind of like, you know what? There's a lot of fluff, and we worry about a lot of fluff and stuff that just doesn't matter.
Just go play ball.
Like Black Friday.
So we can get
into that later.
You've had your overdose of that, it sounds like.
Well, but I'm just saying, But you got that sense from the staff this week, right?
Yeah.
Will that carry over, though? Because at the end of the day, what's happening here, if you look at the first half, Nebraska is a really good second half team. You go back to all of 2016 up to now. This includes the Ohio State debacle. Nebraska's giving up 9 points a game in the second half. That's pretty good. That's actually damn good.
It's great.
If you were to have that in both halves, and again, sure, that includes the 31 points that Ohio State put up last year. Pretty small sample size, 15 games. They're giving up 9 points a game. You double that, you're at 18 points, right? So if Nebraska was able to carry that over to the first half, that would put you in the top 10 nationally in terms of scoring defense. So like the ability is there. Like, we know the ability is there. That's the most frustrating thing. Nebraska is not trotting out scrubs, right? Those aren't scrubs. Those are not give up 42 points to anybody in the first half, right? Nobody. I don't care if it's the Green Bay Packers, like Riley was saying. That group of dudes on scholarship who lift weights and run that fast and are that strong and big should not give up 42 to anybody in any half ever. Right?
End of game total and yardage, points, all that stuff. It's been concerning. And you're right.
Yeah.
So I think you're right with the way the staff has been verbal this week. And maybe they need to be a little more.
They need to get those dudes ready to play.
Maybe they need to be a little bit more grouchy and come out and put two halves together and put four quarters together. And Kranak, you know, being around 18 to 22-year-olds, you've got to figure out a way to tap in to them, okay? And what you say outwardly and what you do at practice every day for 2 hours, they'll see that and they'll take your cues from you. And this week's message, to your point, has been a little more, again, rigid, a little more prickly. And maybe that is the cue that Nebraska takes today and quits blanking around and just goes out and does their thing.
Going back to last year, Nebraska trails on average 16 to 12 at half. That's what happened. The coaches... I think it's on the coaches. It seems like it would be. They got to get those dudes ready to go. I think the kids understand the game plan, right? I think they understand the plays for the most part.
So what is it? Is it motivation?
I don't know. But they're clearly not ready to go when they come out, right? Like, they're just not.
Here's my – how many of the guys that have key spots on this team still believe they can roll out their helmet and win? Is that the issue?
I don't know. I don't know if that's it or not. That's a good question. I don't know. Because this goes back to last year.
Or is it the other – there's the other side of it. There's just no more fear factor against Nebraska.
Well, that's long gone, if you ask me. Okay. Like, that's been gone for 10 years, right? I mean, that's long gone. That's just in our heads. That's in 90s people's heads. Mm-hmm. Right? We think there's some fear factor. There is no fear factor. How can there be a fear factor when through
trailing,
2 weeks
you turn up 68? When you're ahead of these guys at half, I mean, on average. On,
yeah. What's there to be scared of? Don't worry, we won't resist that much. You don't need to be scared. But, I mean, look, at the end of the day, that's what it is, though. They have to be ready to go, whatever that is. Is that a motivational speech? Is that a coach? Is that a – because I don't think it's play calls. You know, I don't think it's things like that. Do you see any, like, horrific things with Nebraska's scheme offensively?
No,
you know what I
see,
right?
You know what I see? I see guys, this team, okay, afraid to screw up.
Defensively, I see that for sure.
Well, and yep. I see a guy like Stanley Morgan, who has got first team talent just coming out his ears. And now he's adjusting to that role as number one. And how did that go in the first half against Oregon in a big game? You chalk it up as a lesson learned. Guys are going to come after you because you're Stan Morgan or DeMornay or, you know, insert best player. You can't have okay games. You have to have great games in big games. And guys have been on the periphery to complement other playmakers. Now it's their turn and their time. And you have more chances as the year comes up against the Wisconsins and Ohio States. But don't kid yourself. Today's big. They're all big. But today's very big based on how you want to roll moving forward. And that message very clear, Mark. You're right. By your head coach and your position coaches, enough's enough. And it kind of falls on you as a player. The coaches have prepared you with a game plan. You practice hard. You're dealing with injuries. So guys who usually aren't in the spotlight get that opportunity to step up today. Now it's on you as a player, as a student athlete, as a guy that you've been doing this your whole life since you were six. You fell in love with it, and it's time to go act like it. Pretty simple.
Well, that's where they're coming from, but that's the staff's responsibility. The staff's responsibility. Why do you have a staff? Why do you have coaches?
To get kids better.
To get kids better and ready to go. Ready to play. Because what is the difference between Nebraska's roster and Michigan State's? Or, I don't know, Ohio State's probably a bad example. But there's such a little difference in rosters. Unless you're talking about Alabama or Ohio State or USC, basically. Georgia, maybe throw them in there. Everybody else is kind of the same. You know, you got enough dudes.
Yep.
So what's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is how those dudes are brought together, how they play as a unit, how ready to go they are, how many plays they take off or don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. And that's coaching, right?
Yeah.
It's got to get better, man. It just has to. It's just been... It's been pathetic.
Yeah.
It's been Nebraska's 128th in pass defense. How does this program rank that low in any category? Any category? Come on. Second to last, third to last.
Nope.
Country. Come on.
I think a step forward with aggressiveness and kind of dictating is what you do. That's just me. Mark Cranack, Chris Schmidt, welcome into the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. and some sobering numbers for you to get going. Happy Saturday.
Good morning.
Yeah, Mick Stoltenberg going to get going, see if he can follow up that second half. This first half is kickoffs at 11 o'clock. Our rewind with Mick Stoltenberg, Nebraska nose guard. Pride of Gretna coming up. Brandon Vogel shortly. Gary Sharp. Let me tell you about our friends from Madonna Therapy Plus. Don't let knee, hip, shoulder, or back strain put that life of yours on hold. Recover faster with Madonna Therapy Plus for your physical therapy needs. And Madonna, such great people. Skilled therapists using the most advanced technology to get the results you need to get you back on the trail, on the court, or back just in regular life. Quickly and safely. The past 10 years, Madonna Therapy Plus voted Lincoln's number one choice for physical therapy, plus three convenient locations in Lincoln for you. Also, a place in West Omaha to visit. Madonna Therapy Plus, the answer you need. Get back in the game of life right now with Madonna Therapy Plus. Learn more, log on, and visit your friends at Madonna today. TherapyPlus.org. A quick timeout, our rewind. Mick Stoltenberg, black shirt, up next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
A few minutes here on Hail Varsity Radio. No Stackle, Mick Stoltenberg is with us. Mick, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing outstanding. Second half, Nebraska really shut down the run game on Oregon. I want to go back to halftime and what was voiced by you, by teammates, as you guys tried to recover.
Definitely just kind of putting the first half behind us and really, really taking pride in fighting in the second half and making sure that we could really try and get a hold of the game. I know Luke came in at halftime and gave a pretty good talk to the defense. I think we were ready. We made our adjustments and ready to go out. I think as a defensive line, we knew they were going to try and run the ball more, try and slow the game down, drive the ball on us. So that was definitely a point of emphasis for us in the second half.
Mick Stoltenberg with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. It seemed like the balance Oregon had in the first half was giving you guys some problems, and they're an extremely explosive offense. From a plan standpoint, were you guys pretty confident going in? Did you feel good, you know, as you got ready for kickoff, that the first half would be okay?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we had a good week of preparation coming in. Obviously, that wasn't very indicative of how the first half went, but we had a plan in place and we prepared hard during the week, and obviously things just didn't really work out that way. Like I said, it was just obviously a tale of two halves. So,
what do you take from the Oregon game?
Obviously, it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. There's definitely some things to build on in the second half, like you said, some improvements we made and things like that. But it's definitely more motivation than anything to make sure we prepare harder during the week and we're ready to start off games and things like that don't happen in weeks to come. And we can really start off, setting the tone of the game instead of kind of being there on the receiving end of that. So definitely that is what I take from the game. I think as a defense, we're going to take that, and we're definitely going to take that in our preparation this week.
How do you approach a game of that magnitude? Every game's important, yes, but, you know, it's kind of the highlight non-conference game. How now, as a junior, do you kind of get the rest of your mates on that defensive line ready to move forward for future games that are pretty high profile?
Just making sure we all study our tape, kind of getting on guys about being up there and setting schemes and things like that, and making sure that we just worry first and foremost about doing our job. Defensive linemen, we're meant to eliminate creases in the run game and obviously get after the quarterback. And I think we just need to make sure that we're getting back to our basic fundamentals, things like that, and really building on that during the weeks.
How comfortable are you now as you head into week three with this scheme shift, with your job and responsibilities? It seems week by week the things get a little bit more familiar. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Obviously, there's nothing like real game experience. These last two games, I've really enjoyed playing in the middle, playing that zero nose. It's been exciting for me. I've enjoyed, taking on some of those challenges, and it's definitely something you build on week to week, and the experience is great.
Tell me some of the challenges you've had to get adapted to with this scheme shift. It's talked about, but you live it because you're going from that forefront, you know, right in front of that center here. What have you gotten better at? What are you feeling good about?
I think I've gotten better at just kind of reading blocks, reading certain blocks if a double team is coming, something like that. Because a lot of times when you're at a zero nose, they'll delay the double team and try and knock you off balance. So it's definitely something I've tried to work on and keeping my base low and really working on that. Just taking on different types of blocks, and I think it's something that once you see more about it in the game, you'll kind of see how teams try to take on the zero nose, and it's something that you can really learn week by week.
Where technique-wise, what are you proud about right now from either a footwork or a hand placement that you've worked on? And is it any different at the zero versus shading over?
Yeah, it is a little different. I think obviously most centers probably prepare more against the one technique. That's usually what you traditionally see. It's definitely important to just making sure your hands are fast and heavy on the center, because obviously they have to snap the football, so you've already have an advantage there with them getting their hands on you. So that's one thing we've really been emphasizing, is just fast, heavy hands and making sure that we can be strong at the point of attack.
Tell me about Perella, because he was a decade plus in the league as a nose guard, as a native Nebraska guy. You know all this, and he was as well respected as there was in the NFL. How he teaches you, how he connects with you, explain that process.
Yeah, I love Coach Perella. Love what he brings every day. He's never down on energy, never down on motivation. He's never letting us get slack on our technique and things like that. And you know, all the information you're getting is definitely the best. And yeah, he really does. I mean, he really does challenge us every day to bring our best. And that's something we really enjoy as a D-line, and it's something we definitely shouldn't take for granted.
A few more minutes here. Mick Stoltenberg with us, Hail Varsity Radio. With that ball game on Saturday, was there a moment that it flipped? And maybe you can correct me, but was there a moment that you felt out of it completely, or did you ever feel out of the game?
I don't know if I necessarily felt out of it. Obviously, it's hard not to get demoralized when something like that happens. But you know, I try and take every drive as a challenge before I go out there and play. And I think I continue to do that. And then once we came out in the second half, I think we really built drive after drive and kind of continued to get better as the game went on. But you know, I really don't know if I was really mentally defeated throughout the game. I kind of tried to keep my poise and things of that nature. But it's definitely tough when things are down like that. But you know, I am happy about the way I responded, even though still leaves a real bitter taste in your mouth about how the game ended. So,
you know, from lessons in that game to how you guys finished, I mean, that's probably kind of your backbone and character. But Coach Riley said something about this after the ball game, some words he may have had, and you can kind of comment on this, just the address, the character of the room. The score is what it is at halftime. It's kind of up to us and you guys to make it from getting worse and do something about it getting better. From a coaching standpoint, who kind of connected with you at halftime to keep forging forward?
Definitely just some of our leaders on the defense. You know, Chris Weber, Gifford, guys like that were really vocal, kind of spoke up and kind of helped get guys in the right mindset for the second half.
With your position here, spend a minute or two here on the Oregon offensive line, experienced group, guys that kind of took their lumps a year ago, but you know, that was kind of the strength of their team, and you guys shut it down in the second half. How were you able to make some of the plays you made? Because it looked like two or three guys were hanging on you, and you were still there to make a solo tackle with some help from the linebacker.
Right.
How are you able to anchor down like that?
You know, just destroying double teams is something we practice every day. It's really important in the nose guard, because you're going to get it. And so just making sure that you turn your shoulders into the double team and kind of split it and squeeze your way through. And you know, the ball's going to be right there once you come through. So you always got to be ready to kind of get down and make the tackle. So it's definitely something we just practice week in, week out. And we try and be physical in practice and try and get the scout team guys to be really physical with the double teams so they can prepare me for the week.
How much time do you spend on taking on double teams?
You know, we spend a little bit of individual time every day with it, but it's mostly kind of doing the team periods when we do the actual scout stuff. You know, when they're running the zone, the inside zones and things like that. It's something you know, I take a lot of pride in. I think is really important for a defensive lineman.
With your ability to take those double teams on, what is your best attribute? Is it the strength? Is it your leverage? Is it your balance? Is it your footwork? If you could pick out one technique you've honed, what helps you defeat those?
Yeah, it's definitely just footwork and your hands at the point of attack. You know, if you slip up at the point of attack, they're going to take you for a ride. So you definitely have to be ready to kind of get on the guide right away.
Last thought here, Northern Illinois comes to town. How do you expect the defense to respond?
I really do expect us to have a great week of preparation. I'm definitely going to be on the D-line today. When we go out there, I'm going to try and get guys up and get guys ready for the work week. And, you know, I think we'll definitely prepare well. So,
Mick Stoltenberg with us. Mick, take care and thanks.
Thank you.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
It's an early kickoff. That means pace yourself. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. Thanks to Mick Stoltenberg for joining us this week. Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp next hour, and Wilderness Ridge. You know what? I tell you about Wilderness Ridge. It's gorgeous during the fall, and you're going to want to get logged on wildernessridgegolf.com and get your tickets now for their bourbon tasting. It'll be coming up. Ooh. Yes. Critics like, hold on a minute.
I hear they're going to have bourbon there.
They have great bourbon. I can attest to this. Whenever you visit Wilderness Ridge. But bourbon tasting, October 25th. It's a Wednesday. It's 6:30. Select.
Why do they? You know what? I'm glad they're doing that. And this isn't just them. Why do the people always call it like the fill-in-the-blank tasting?
I don't know.
What else are you going to do with it? Right?
I will tell you more here, though.
Okay, please do.
Select bourbon tasting at 6:30, October 25th at Wilderness Ridge.
Yeah.
And here's what they got.
Here
are some of the pours. Old Forester. They got Old Forester 1920.
What?
And the Woodford Reserve double oaked bourbon. And then they also have the 30-day barrel aged Manhattan with Woodford Reserve. Yeah. Maybe you're having a little bourbon this morning.
Yeah. Pace yourself, though, as you mentioned. Somebody somewhere did set their drink down when you gave that warning.
Just,
somebody somewhere was like, he's right.
So you're telling
right.
me,
it's
you're,
early.
Is this, are you telling me it's a hold my beer day for Nebraska?
It's, I don't know. Chances are Nebraska will be down. If today's game goes to chalk, expect Nebraska to be down 16-12.
Okay.
Going into halftime. That's probably what's been happening. But going back to the bourbon.
WildernessRidgeGolf.com where you log on. Go see our friends at Wilderness Ridge. Get some fall golf into 434-5106 is what you dial. Okay, I'm done with my read now.
No, it's fine. But why do we always call it tastings? Like, what else are you going to do with it? It's like, no, how interesting would it be if they said it's the bourbon gargle, right? And then you kind of know what you're in for there.
Everybody
shows up like, dude, we got so much bourbon, you're going to be gargling it.
I think you sip and enjoy and relax, take the edge off, unbutton your collar.
That's good.
Yeah?
But it's always the tasting event. Like, what else are you going to do with it, right? Of course it's the tasting event. I just think they should call it the gargle or the sip or something like that. That's all.
Some of us identify, you know, family members by what type of bourbon they had. It's their clone.
Yeah. Reminds me of my good old uncle. This smells like a...
Crazy Larry.
This smells like Uncle Larry. Yeah. You sure
okay.
Didn't like it when Nebraska lost.
Some interesting stuff from Mick Stoltenberg, and it's kind of been on him. He told us to get the D-line's mind right this week, to get them going. He was specific about Gifford and Weber. Their job as leaders and native Nebraskans, along with Mick, to kind of turn things around at halftime last week. And it goes back to kind of our theme this first hour. Will you get some urgency and some consistency to start a game from Nebraska, and you're hearing and feeling more urgency from the coaching staff? Will it translate to the players? And it kind of simply comes down to, in all honesty, these guys, the
suit up and are supposed to go execute, kind of now it's on them. And Riley's coaching style isn't to force feed you a drink from the trough. He'll show you where it is. You need to go get that drink. And that's really, it depends on how you are as a mature adult, as you get older in a program. Mm.
Yeah, and look, we don't know if it'll work, but that is absolutely his style. His style is to make the players take ownership. And I think your best example of that, it's so weird, the envy we now have of Bucky, but the best example of that, of a player-led culture and how powerful that can be, is Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it doesn't matter. Like, I could be coordinating the defense right now. It doesn't matter who's coordinating the defense. They've had like 14 coordinators in the last year, right? Like, it's ridiculous how coaches in and out all the time. They look exactly the same.
Well, it's culture.
Every single year.
It's culture.
Exactly. And I think that's what, and think about it. So Riley is, he's been trying to implement that, I think, since he got here. Year one, that was ugly because you had so many guys that were uber loyal to the Bo staff,
yep,
to the Bo regime. It made it difficult. But it was the players that were leading that culture saw what happened. It was players that were disgruntled. It was players going one way or the other way. So it got pretty ugly. But I think by now, this is Riley's team. Yeah, you got some holdovers, some recruits or whatever, but most of those guys should be long gone if they're not on board, that, right?
It should not be an issue in year three.
No.
Period.
Yeah, year three, this is Riley's crew. So I hope it does become a player-led culture type thing. Let's go back to the glory days, late 90s or whatever. When you showed up to, when you watched practice back then, man, like, there was no doubt that that was a player-led thing. Like, yes, the coaches kind of kept a lid on everybody, pointed them in the right direction, like, had the game plan, but there was a way of going about things.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Wisconsin has that now. What's Nebraska's way? What's the way to do things now?
Well, clearly they're...
It's up to the players, right?
Yeah, it's accountability, and it's on you as a player to come out, start strong, finish stronger, and we'll see how it is. Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity coming up in a couple of minutes for Hour 2. Gary Sharp on the way. Hour 2 next, Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, Roll Tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it, Hour 2. Thanks for your time. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, the weekend edition presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. Hour 1, we got caught up with Mick Stoltenberg. How are the Black Shirts going to do against Northern Illinois today? Let's get in touch with our dear friend from Hail Varsity Magazine and HailVarsity.com, Brandon Vogel, author Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, do you have your poncho handy?
I did pack the rain gear. I wasn't expecting to need it. I thought we were going to get this one in before most of this stuff hit, but I'm actually up in the press box now, and a lot of lightning around, so hopefully that'll clear out, but as we know, lightning can cause some problems with these things.
It can. Now, what is what's there to grub on? Did you get your Pop-Tart yet this morning?
I haven't. I think I'm too early for that, so beat the catering folks, and so I'm just sitting here. Boy, I really needed a coffee, so if anyone's on their way, if they could bring a coffee up to the sixth floor, that'd be great.
Kranak, you on that?
Yeah, I mean, not a problem, Brandon. Just stand by. Do you want creamer, sugar?
Just black. If you could bring me actually a full French press, that'd be perfect.
Okay. All right. I didn't realize that you were... I mean, is a pour over okay? You know,
yeah, that would work too. Yeah.
Okay, all right, good to know. Now, it's supposed to clear out, though. Like, we're not going to really have problems with thunder and lightning today, are we? It didn't look like
I don't think so. I stopped in a local radio station on Thursday to do a segment, and they told me it was going to be okay. So that's straight from the source.
Yeah, weather channel saying it dips down to like a 20% chance of showers at 9, and then that keeps dipping. But there is a chance throughout the rest of the day. So is Nebraska going to not be a bad football team today, Brandon? What do you think?
That's a good question. I think defensively, I think they'll look better than they have. You know, this Northern Illinois offense can sort of challenge them in some of the ways they've been challenged in weeks 1 and 2, which we've seen as an issue. Not quite as explosive, I don't think, as some of these teams that Nebraska has faced previously. So that part of it will be good. You know, offensively, I thought, you know, it set up pretty well for Nebraska's run game. Now you're out without Trey Bryant, presumably, for this one. So, Mikael Wilbon, step on up. This is a pretty big day for him, potentially, I think, to show what he can do.
Brandon Vogel is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, let's kind of dive into what we may see from the Nebraska offense. We'll spend a few more minutes defensively, too, but, you know, I've heard the right things this week, from you should be sick from Coach Riley to let's get Tanner Lee in some rhythm. Coach Kavanaugh got to be better. I mean, I'm paraphrasing the week's worth of commentary. And it kind of comes down to what type of performance are you going to go get. From a plan standpoint, yeah, I get finding Lee some shorter throws to get him going. But with Wilbon in this O-line, in this run game, Mark and I were hitting on it in the first hour. And listen, one of the question marks this year was, you know, run game and balance. Well, you had Bryant complimenting the O-line complimenting Bryant, and it was good. What can you see, or what do you need to see from Wilbon? Because he has shown flashes, although very brief. We're not that far removed from kind of his breakthrough/breakout against Northwestern. How do you use Wilbon today if you're Nebraska?
Well, I think they'll try to use him, you know, probably not that differently than they use Bryant, but that's a key question. It's, can he hold up? Is he as good and carries 20 through 25 as he is, you know, 5 through 10? And that's sort of one of the most impressive things, I think, that Bryant has displayed early this season. So we'll see. You know, does the rotation at running back, or I guess the carries there, literally just shift back a guy without Bryant? We'll see, or we'll see if that means, you know, more Zigbo. We'll see if Jalen Bradley gets a couple back there. Nebraska, really, you talked about the passing game a little bit. I'll be really interested to watch that on first down. I think not necessarily shorter throws, but maybe some higher percentage throws on first down, because we saw after, you know, the first 4 or 5 drives last week, how much that meant to this offense. When they didn't get something on first down, those drives stalled out pretty quickly. Whether it was a 3 and out or not, they really weren't getting towards scoring territory. So first down efficiency, I think, is going to be a big health check for me for this offense today.
Yeah, and, you know, for the most part, Nebraska's moved the ball. They've scored, you know, you're close to 40 points a game. Yep. So they're doing some things offensively. So is that the main issue that you're seeing, is that they're just not doing really well on early downs, which is forcing them to kind of have those miraculous/big plays?
Yeah, so far through 2 games, the difference has been pretty stark on, you know, even if they're getting 4 or 5 yards on first down, it's just sort of sets the tone. Look, you gotta take some shots. The first play of the game last week, it ended up in an unfortunate interception. You probably play that play out 10 times exactly the same way and maybe get an interception twice. So I get that part of it. You've got to do that a little bit, but I think in these next maybe 2 or 3 games specifically, I'm going to look for Nebraska to kind of maybe dial it back. If you go in thinking, well, we're going to take 3 shots on first down, maybe it's 2, and you just try to play it a little safer, because the numbers are all saying hey, that first down efficiency matters a lot for this offense. And when they do get into scoring territory, they've been very good. And what that really means is touchdowns, not field goals. But it also means, you know, once you get down there, Drew Brown's probably going to make it. I mean, you go into this one, Northern Illinois is averaging more yards than Nebraska is, but fewer points. So that kind of tells you what Nebraska's doing once they get into the opponent's half of the field.
Brandon Vogel's joining us, Hail Varsity Radio. Vogues, defensively, I know the MO is to not allow the big play and kind of squeeze that real estate down in the red zone, make it three, not a 7-point trip. That said, how much longer do you kind of leave your corners and secondary out there on that island? Yes, they've got to be good, and that's their job, and they should want to play man. But in the same sense, if you're just bringing three, or even if you have four coming at the quarterback, that's been a topic on HailVarsity.com this week, is the pass rush. And sacks are nice, but, you know, getting the quarterback out of his comfort zone, getting him hurried is super important. And it goes together. If you have a pass rush or you have some disruption going on, it helps that secondary. Do you see Nebraska just kind of, all right, maybe the guys are a little more comfortable, so they turn it loose themselves. But if there's still some uncertainty there, can you help the guys out by maybe dialing up the aggressiveness a bit today?
You could. I'd be surprised if it were to come today. In fact, I'd be surprised, you know, if we were to see a major shift in that over the next maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Like, if you sort of charged headlong into the storm, by not charging headlong into the storm, I guess, and sort of playing back and a little bit cautiously in the secondary against the two teams you've already played, well, heading into Big Ten play, you know, if you're willing to take those bumps against those teams, it should get a little bit easier for you against the Illinois and Rutgers of the world. So we'll see what happens. If you're seeing the same things in those kind of games, I think then you've got to be like, well, maybe this is how we want to go about this, and we thought we could ride this out, but it's not working. Then you have to start getting creative with, I think, what you're going to do pressure-wise, and maybe look at what you're going to do coverage-wise, because that's an indication that, okay, this whatever we thought we were going to be able to do this season, we're not there yet. So how do we make ourselves the best we can be right now?
You know, going into halftime, Husker fans have been hand-wringing for the last, you know, 9 of the last 10 games, 14 of the last 22 versus Power 5 opponents. Nebraska just does not go into the break with a lead. It's hard to put your finger on that, isn't it? Like, what if you could, what do you think accounts for that? How do you fix that?
I don't know. Other than sort of offensively, I think maybe more than some other teams, it's kind of viewed as an overall puzzle. So what you're doing on those first couple drives is influencing what you're going to do later, and also trying to kind of prepare the defense for what you want to do later. You know, Nebraska's offense, to me, feels pretty intricate, if that's the right word. And it can be really good that way. But, you look at something like the Oregon game last week, zipped right down the field, touchdown, and then you add a defensive one. That's the other big one. You know, you think back, it's kind of tough to remember any of those big sort of defensive scores or defensive plays that led to a score happening in the first half. It seems like it'd be interesting to look at Nebraska's turnover margin by half, and it's possible I'm just totally misremembering things, but it seems like they're more of a second half kind of takeaway team too. So I think that's part of it.
Vogues, a couple of kids you're looking at today. We've spent some time on Wilbon, but who are a couple of guys on the defensive side that you're anxious and interested in observing?
Well, I mean, Luke Gifford's kind of been the guy you can't take your eyes off. He's playing high-level football right now. So I just like the way he plays, so I'm kind of always going to be watching him. Safeties will be interesting. You know, can Nebraska make it through with sort of the three guys that they have now? You know, Kalu is definitely out. I'd be really interested to see if Jeremiah Stovall got in and got some snaps. You know, his story is a pretty interesting one. as a walk-on kid who's really making his presence felt pretty early. So if he gets in the game, I'll definitely keep an eye on him. On the defensive front, you know, Nebraska's probably as well off there as any place. But DeAndre Thomas continues to play well. When we spent a lot of this time this week talking about pass rush and pressure, when you go back and watch Nebraska games, it seems like he's one of the guys that is back there when the Huskers are getting in a quarterback space. So he's been a lot of fun to watch so far.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I thought Antonio Reed came in and played well. It seems like it's the guys that are doing well right now, maybe it's not specific to this season, but they're sort of cutting it loose, if that makes sense. Right? Like, you just see Luke Gifford, for instance. He seems like he's playing freely, right? You know, as opposed to maybe like Lamar Jackson, who seems like he's just kind of being really cautious. I think DiCaprio Boodle is playing pretty aggressively, too. Do you think that's sort of what it comes down to overall for this defense? They got to get that comfort factor, let it rip a little bit instead of just kind of being frightened or looking frightened.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I thought Diaco's comments on Tuesday were really good and kind of gave a good encapsulation of what's going on. And he essentially said many of the same things that you did there. You know, once we got to the second half and started taking it play by play, we were better. They didn't give up any points against Oregon in the second half. So I think that's a key part of it. It'll be interesting to see if it looks that way for 60 minutes this time, because that's a pretty 42-14 is a pretty powerful lesson. And if the diagnosis of the problem there was a little bit of guys worrying if they're doing all the things they're supposed to do, you know, one of the strengths of a Diaco defense coming in, I thought, was the ability to do just that, just go play. You know, it's intuitive, and you're just, it empowers players to go out there and just play defense. Nebraska's not quite there yet. At least they hadn't been through two games, but they were certainly there in the second half against Oregon. So does that continue today? I'll be interested to see.
Well, here's one thing about today, too, that I'm wondering, and you, or not today, but the season, and you dive into the numbers quite a bit. Does it happen? Is it regular where a team will look so bad early and then get right by the end of the year? Like, does that actually happen? Or do you sort of, you know what I mean? Because Nebraska needs not just improvement, but I think probably dramatic improvement.
Yeah. I did a story on that, I think, all the way back in 2013. I'll have to track it down. I think the title of it was What Happens to Bad Defenses. and it was about this stage, because that was a year where, you know, I think Wyoming came in and put up 600-plus yards, and Nebraska still got the win, but defense was the talk. And it's rare for a team to go from being in the, you know, the 120s, I guess, is what it would have been then, after the first month of the season. Like, the ceiling isn't very high in terms of what they can look like statistically. I think that, you know, maybe there was one instance where a team climbed up in the top 30 and then a couple more in the top 50, but it's tough to get up. There's not a lot of examples of what you're talking about where you've given up over 1,000 yards in two games and you end up somewhere around, okay, perfectly normal, 350 per game the rest of the way out. It's tough to do.
Brandon Vogel is with us. I mean, you're either going to kind of find your sea legs at a early point or not at all, and it's kind of wait till next year. And that's how it's treated with quarterbacks. That's how it is defensively. A lot of times you can get better, but are you dependable? And we'll see with that for Nebraska today. Just to kind of wind down the week that's been, your reaction to Riley and Langsdorf and Kavanaugh's comments just this week. I mean, do you agree that the urgency is now even a little bit higher from the coaches? And do you think the players understand that? I mean, so many times we talk about players to kind of taking on the personality of their coach. Well, you got a even keel Mike Riley, but he wasn't afraid to kind of voice his displeasure and more so frustration about the missed opportunity last week. Do the guys get that? Do you think it'll light the fire?
Well, I mean, he said the players should be sick after watching Oregon, and a couple of them actually went out and got sick. So that's a good sign.
Literally taking his cue, right?
Overall, you know, I don't know. That's a part of why this game is so interesting, and I think it's perfectly timed to a degree for Nebraska. Northern Illinois is a good program. I think their head coach is 4-1 against, or 3-1 against Big Ten teams. They're a program that's used to winning. Played in a BCS bowl not too long ago, so Nebraska's going to have to come out and play well. I think they should win. I don't know how comfortable it's going to be, but that might be the indication of what you're talking about. Do you see that urgency on the field? If this one feels more comfortable than you thought it might be coming in, then you can say maybe, yeah, they took a step in that direction. That was laid out on Monday.
It continued, by the way. Like, that wasn't just Riley on Monday, but even after practice, what was that, Thursday? He looks different. He seems a little on edge.
Yeah, Thursday was interesting. Some of that same urgency was there. There was also a little bit of, and we're dealing with injuries. So, like I said, this one, it felt on Sunday like a little bit of a get-right game for Nebraska. I don't know if that's the case anymore.
I don't think so either. I mean, I think this is going to be a ball game that will stress and test Nebraska a bit, and I think they'll be better for it. I think they can use something like this, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's kind of the perfect transition in that way in the Big Ten play. And, you know, I know Nebraska opens with Rutgers and Illinois, and sort of all offseason talked about, well, here you go. You could be 4-1 or maybe 5-0 after that stretch if you could get a win at Oregon. Well, it didn't do that, but Rutgers is a better football team. Still had a loss last week to Eastern Michigan, and Illinois did look great last night. But I do think they're both a little bit further ahead than I thought they would be coming in.
Vogues, to wrap up, what's coming up on Hail Varsity today with game coverage, HailVarsity.com, and please tell folks about your book.
Yeah, so we'll have full game coverage from the day. You know, we've kind of ramped up on that end. So if you're used to what we did in the past, definitely check us out again now, because the team has expanded, and I'm really happy with what we're putting out post-game. Next issue of the magazine goes to press Sunday night, so we're putting that to bed this weekend, which I think people are really going to like. It deals with some of the greatest what-ifs in Husker history, so look for that one. And then, the book, Dream Like a Champion, it is in bookstores now. It's been available for a while, but it is officially published in the terms of the book world September 1st. So been getting some good feedback on that. It's John Cook's sort of coaching philosophy, life philosophy, and just a really good breakdown of leadership and what he's learned about that over his remarkable career at Nebraska. So you can find that in bookstores.
And please find it in bookstores. Carson has a copy of it, so that is good. Kranak has sounded like he's been getting electrocuted from time to time. That's not our goal nor plan, so we'll get right with him. Vogues, thank you so much, man, for a few minutes this morning. Great to get caught up. And a over-under, have you seen the Husky wandering around Memorial Stadium yet from Northern Illinois?
I haven't. I heard it was about 50-50 that he's going to make it. So I'm still holding out hope. Got to get a dog on these sidelines one of these days.
I'll bring Roz. Okay, there we go. Take care, Vogues. We'll see you in the press box shortly, bud.
All right, see you in a bit.
There he is. We'll get reconnected with Mark Kranak, Gary Sharp shortly, Sauter Heyman. Hey, if you're bumping around downtown, no time like, now to go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 0% interest financing through 2020. Yes, 0% interest financing through 2020. And check out the extensive collection with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman of both Earthmind diamonds and pure-grown diamonds. 1-carat diamonds available for you. Only $99 down, only $99 a month. Again, 0% interest financing through 2020. There's no reason you can't get your sweetheart what she wants. Be a hero to friends and family and get by Sauter Heyman today. Voted best year after year. Sauter Heyman, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west with your friends in Grand Island. Can log on SauterHeyman.com. The Iron Horse, Mr. Gary Sharp, up next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Getting ready for Northern Illinois, Nebraska. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery Weekend Edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, is with us. Sharpie, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. It is the soggy Iron Horse this morning. I'm in a out here about 84th in Lincoln, and it is absolutely pouring. It is a frog strangler right now.
You know what? Sogginess. Yeah, that's no fun. Vogues has his poncho packed. Did you bring yours?
I did not, because I was listening to Weatherman, and what a great job. I mean, you got a chance of being 50-50. They were saying probably late afternoon showers. Well, I'm not sure what their time clock says, but it's 8:30 in the morning, and it's dark, and it is pouring rain in Lincoln.
Late afternoon in London, yeah. I got to ask you here, your takeaway from Oregon, and do you have a prediction as far as what type of mood you'll get Nebraska in today?
Well, first of all, I think this is going to be a very odd game, because you have the emotion of last week where you had good things go right and you had things go wrong. And Nebraska just simply, I wish there was a cure. And it's not just this football team in 2017. This is something that has plagued Nebraska for a long time, is do simple better. If you go back and watch that game, Nebraska at times were their own worst enemy by just making simple fundamental mistakes, whether they were lined up, whether they were lack of communication, a drop football, a misread here or there. Do simple better. If you look at offensive side of the football, they shot themselves in the foot. They still scored as many points as they did, and they had five possessions that they basically ended themselves with either a turnover or a penalty. On defense, I think they started to play fundamentally sound in the second half better. Did they cure things? We're not going to know. But, guys, this has been a weird week. It's been a week where you've got some injuries now. You got some illness. You've had a lot more chatter about stuff that has nothing to do with the 2017 team. It's just a weird week and an interesting opponent that has players on their team in Northern Illinois that probably think they should have been recruited by a Big Ten school or should be at a Big Ten school. So they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. I really don't know what to make of today, but I think today is more about Nebraska than Northern Illinois. Nebraska has to show some type of normalcy to feel good, because now you roll into the conference play, and you really have 3 weeks now to get yourself right and correct anything that has kicked you in the shins the last 2 weeks.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. How about at running back today? You're going to see Mikhail Wilbon in extended action, and God, how many Saturdays have we basically asked for that? What, 3 years in a row now? Like, yep. Give this guy more touches. Well, here it is. What do you think fans will see out of him? You've seen him in practice more than the average fan. What is, are those flashes that we see in the games likely to come out today?
Great question, and it's the unknown, Mark. You and I have talked about this. He's teased us for a long time when he's gotten limited play. I think we all go back to Northwestern last year, where we saw him running in the open field and his vision and his burst of speed, and we're thinking, all right, this is the guy. And for some reason, he can't put the whole package together. If it's just pass pro blocking that holds him back, then he's got to work on that. But here today is a golden opportunity. I'm wondering, and I ask you guys, do you think he's a 15 to 20 carry guy today, or do they spread things around? And I'm not necessarily saying we see Divine Azigbo for the first time, possibly Jalen Bradley, maybe more wide receiver carries. But what is their plan with Wilbon? I hope they don't overthink it with him. They get a package of plays that he can do well and let him run it. But he also has to let things breathe today as the starting eye back. Instead of trying to force things, he just needs, if he sees a hole, he's got to hit it. Because I think this is also an audition for him. We don't know about old man knees. We like what we've seen out of Trey Bryan. He has proven that he can be one of the elite running backs in the Big Ten Conference. But this is probably going to be a week-to-week thing with those knees. So this might be a prime opportunity for Mikhail Wilbon to say, hey, I finally arrived. I've shipped everything off that's ailed me the last couple of years. I can be the man at Nebraska. That's a key spot to watch to see how 21 handles the spotlight today.
No, that's a great point, Gary. Here's the thing with Wilbon, though. They got to let him get in rhythm. And you know, the 15 to 20 carries question's great, but there's also an element out there trying to get Tanner going and comfortable with some throws, too. And you're right. Don't overthink it. If you want to be a football team that can line up and run the ball successfully in conference play, and you tried to do it last week and you had good balance, there needs to be mutual faith from the OC and from the running back that there'll be time to get in rhythm if I'm the running back. And as the OC, I got to let this guy get going because the line looks like they can perform pretty well blocking.
Well, I think you saw in feisty Mike Riley this week,
yeah.
You saw a guy who tries to keep telling us that he's committed to the run, and we say, ah, coach, 41 passes at Oregon. You want to run a lot of passing game. I think you read into this week, he wants to run the football, and today may be a prime opportunity to run the football to help Tanner Lee. But it all starts with, we saw on Saturday, Tanner Lee, when people are around his feet, he has had a hard time adjusting to that. Only two games back after that long layoff. So we'll see if there's better protection today. And I'm not saying the offensive line was poor. It's just I think there are some complicated pass blocking schemes that Nebraska uses that they might need to simplify to have a better protection of Tanner Lee. But first and foremost, I got to keep him clean today, and maybe that'll open up the run game as well. But I just there's a lot of intrigue there, because if Mikael Wilbon needs a spell, who is the next guy up in that backfield? Do we finally get to see Divine Azigbo, or do they say Jalen Bradley? The red shirt is gone. Welcome to big-time college football.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You know, I'm looking at how Nebraska has spread the ball around through the air, and they really haven't. I mean, it's the starters that are getting catches. You got Stanley, DPE, Tyjon, Tyler Hoppus, and J.D. Spielman. Those are the only receivers / tight ends that have caught a ball. And then you got Mikael Wilbon's got four catches. Luke McKnitt has one. Does Nebraska need to spread it around more? Or are they maybe too predictable through the air so far?
I think, Mark, when Tanner Lee has at times fallen in love with Stanley Morgan, he had 16 targets at Oregon. 16 yeah. targets. Now, we all like Stan. And the thing with Stanley Morgan and Des Moines personnel last week is they would make a play where you'd scratch your head, and then almost immediately they'd make a play that your jaw dropped. They need more consistency out of those two stars. But 16 targets is a lot. I would like today, and moving forward for the next couple of weeks, because you know what you have out of your two top wide receivers, you really like your tight end, maybe an establishment of that number three option in the passing game. Is it Spielman? Is it Lindsey? But you're right. I think they have a lot of weapons, but Tanner Lee is big on trust, and I think you can see right away in the first two games who he trusts the most on where he's going to go. He also fell into that portion, I thought, on Saturday against Oregon, where he locked on to his favorite wide receiver and did not look away and didn't go down to the second or third option.
Sharpie, you know, I want to ask you about this team, and Kranak did just a nails job of starting out this morning with Nebraska's record against Power 5 teams and Nebraska's inconsistency.
11-11.
Inconsistency to start games. I mean, they trail at half the majority of the time. Why do you think that is?
Because they haven't learned how to win yet.
Okay.
They're pure and simple. Six of the last eight games, the opponent has scored first. Six of the last eight games, they've trailed at halftime. I think it's a process to learn how to win. And it's not only the guys on the field, I think it's guys on the coaching staff. So that they feel very confident in their preparation between Sunday and Thursday. So what happens on Saturday when the game starts, that you can't dictate the pace, but you have to react to the pace, make adjustments, and then you go out and play. I think that there's some youth involved, but I also think it is learning how to win. That you prepare well, but then Saturday comes and you get off to a slow start and you're going, okay, what are we doing in week? And you start to, in your mind, debating what's going on. Until Nebraska can put some sustained success together where they have consistent play, where they have clean quarters of football, then I think you'll start to see that change a little bit. But until then, I think we all hop on the roller coaster, and we may not have normalcy, in 2017 with this football team. I think some things will change over the next couple of weeks that maybe reared its ugly head on Saturday in Oregon, but this could be one of those years where we have to ride the wave, and you might get a lot of games like we've had the first 2 weeks, and it might be time for us then to just accept that that's how it's going to be in 2017 with this football team. They're not going to be a clean four-quarter football team. They're going to be maybe 2.5 quarters, and the quarter and a half on the other side, you just have to buckle up the seatbelt.
That's so disconcerting.
You just broke Mark's heart.
If that's the case, and all indications are that's exactly what we'll see, you know, as the year goes on. Mm-hmm. And frankly, that's all you've seen from Nebraska in the last 3 years. Well, go before that. During the Pelini years, is this building towards something? Does 2018 all of a sudden become a consistent team that plays generically what we all know and see as good football? When does that start? Right?
I think it can start today. It can start moving forward because you're going to have younger guys coming through, but they don't know any better. And so they can establish that. But Nebraska needs, Nebraska football right now, it's kind of on the hamster wheel where they keep going round and round, where you think they're going to get off of it, and then they get right back on it. It's the mystery that has plagued a few head coaches here on why Nebraska can't be a four-quarter football team that just is in rhythm and all three phases are clicking together. If you can come up with the formula to cure that, then, you're going to be golden in Lincoln. But until you start to see some sustained success, I think it's just going to be that way. Now, I think this football team, none of anything I saw in the first 2 weeks has changed my opinion. I think this is an 8-4 football team that will get better as the season goes along. And let's be honest, if you predicted 1-1 after 2 weeks, what are you complaining about? Well, you're complaining because the two things that you thought would be at least okay, Tanner Lee and the defense, have not been. Tanner Lee has been 50%. There are numbers that say he's exactly like he was at Tulane. The defense, of course, we don't have to go into it. Everybody knows what it's been. So those two things bother you. So if you predicted 1-1 and Nebraska's 1-1, you're still angry that they're 1-1 because of those two things. That's why today is, I think, pretty important. It might be Northern Illinois, but I think it's very, very important that Nebraska does play well today. And they put some clean football together because we got to get off this train of, man, Nebraska football wears us out. We got to start having some positivity. It would be nice to have one of those big 30-point victories, but I don't know. I'm kind of thinking this is going to be one of those years where we're going to get to the fourth quarter and there's going to be some angst and you have to find a way to win football games.
10 to 14 points today, kind of that window, what I'm thinking, Sharpie, to say goodbye and thanks for your time today. What is your reaction to the Black Friday hubbub?
I'm going to be honest. I don't really care.
Yeah.
It's 3 years down the road. Things can change. I think we worry too much about outside stuff instead of what's going on with the current football team, and we can't get out of the way. And sometimes that plagues what the current football team is doing and how we approach that. All of that stuff outside, that is cured by simply winning football games. Winning is hard in college football. But if you win, no one cares about that stuff. Let's be honest. And you know what? Nebraska, to get this perception and to get moved like they did, you did it to yourself. You know what, though? You are at a position in Nebraska where other schools, if you drop off, it takes a long way to climb back up. You're at Nebraska. It shouldn't be that long to climb back up, back into contention. But you get what you deserve, but you also can control what will be rewarded to you. And I think that's how I look at Nebraska. So I would love to get into a debate with this, but the contract extension, the Black Friday, who you're playing, that's still down the road. We can't worry about that. Got to worry about 2017. Let's be honest, guys. If you lay an egg in 2017 and next year's a crucial year and you lay another egg, there's a lot of us that aren't going to be around here.
No, and pretty much eat what's on your plate now this season. The periphery is the periphery. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, we'll catch up with you in the press box, bud. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Take care. There he is. Good. Gary Sharp with the Hail Varsity Radio.
I got some theories on the whole Black Friday thing,
We'll jump on it here in a second. I lost my mind on it earlier this week because it's kind of all I've known living here, right?
Yeah.
That's your day. Now, in fairness, You need to keep winning at a high level to keep that day. So we'll get your thoughts on it here in a second. We'll wind down coming up at 9. Don't forget, if you're bumping around the Haymarket, Gregeth and Hooks will be down for the ESPN FM 101.5 1480 tailgate down at From Nebraska. So go see those dudes. A quick timeout. We'll wind down the weekend edition of Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?
All right, fire up. Northern Illinois, Nebraska, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Shot clock is about 4 minutes here, Mr. Kranak.
Yep.
And Sharpie's take on, you know, the season's here and now. There's stuff a few years away. You know, kind of worry about what's going on now. And that's a smart take. That's a good take. I was frustrated for Nebraska at the initial perceived lack of fight to keep Black Friday.
It wasn't perceived. That's what you were told. That's what everybody was told. Communication's been weird.
Well,
sorry,
but
I know
what's the story, right?
I didn't clarify. Like, no, you said that wasn't about me clarifying. You're just like, hey, by the way, athlete welfare. Yeah, we're just moving to Saturdays. Thanks. And then it's like, no, what I meant was we're still working on it. Look, I give them kudos, though, for responding.
No, absolutely. How many guys in power dig their heels in, right?
Yeah.
They respond. I'm the boss, you're not.
Like, how could you not anticipate that? Right? Like, why would you just think that would be okay?
Well,
especially after Oregon week. My God. Like,
well, I know. Insult to injury. But here's the thing, and here's the reality, and here's what it looks like, is you're not a guy from Nebraska. You're not from here. You don't get it. That's what will linger with this.
And look, the reason why fans clamored onto this thing so much is because Nebraska fans are just thirsting, dying for any stability. And when you see more instability,
well, they're thirsting for positive recognition. And that's one thing you have to hold on to.
It's Black Friday game. But it's grasping at straws a little bit. I mean, in the grand scheme of
things. It's time to do things now, right? And hence Northern Illinois.
Dude, it's been the wandering years last 20 years. It's the wandering years. Guess how many, since T.O. stepped down, how many offensive coordinators has Nebraska had in that span?
Okay, let me do this math here. You had Frank, you had Barney, you had Watson, you had Callahan, Watson. I said him twice because he was kind of on both, right?
Norvell was actually pre-Watson.
Really? So I thought he was just, my bad. You're right. He's the Utah coach now, or the Utah State coach. And then eight?
You've had six. You've had six offensive coordinators, and you've had eight defensive coordinators.
The Beck years. Huh.
Isn't that crazy, though? That's six offensive coordinators, eight defensive coordinators.
Do we dare ask, you know, insult this here even further and ask how many safeties coaches Nebraska's had?
Oh, God. 400? Something like that?
The Nebraska safeties coach list looks like the quarterback draft, the guy you see at the draft from, you know, the Cleveland fan, the line through the names.
There's been so much instability in those 20 years. I mean, I could rattle all the things off, but I think we all know them. Yeah. I don't want to rattle them all off. They're kind of sad. But that's what. So fans are just like, come on. Like, at least we could count on you. Right now, you can count on the sellout and then Black Friday, right? But no one was even thinking about Black Friday because they had never even considered it not being a thing.
Right.
And then it pops up, but it's like, wait. Oh.
Kranak, you got Junior ready to go. You taking your boy to the game today?
Taking the little guy.
That's awesome.
Taking the little guy. It'll be good. He's four. So, you know, he'll get a hot dog. He'll get a couple shots with the cheerleaders. You know, ladies, man.
Pictures, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, right. Yeah, yeah. He's too young for. Every time I give him shots, the police get mad. It's just this whole thing. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it anymore.
Good enough. Enjoy your Husker game day with ESPN FM 101.5 1480 AM again. Down in the Haymarket, the ESPN tailgate commences shortly with Gregeth and Hooks. Good dudes. They'll keep you out of the rain, which is important. From Nebraska, right across from you. Anyways, go see those fellas. And don't forget to keep it locked into HailVarsity.com for postgame with Dr. Petey, Greg Smith recruiting, Mike Babcock, the legend, Jacob Padilla, Mr. Brandon Vogel, Aaron Babcock. That's Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. We'll talk to you on Monday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.